Thank you very much, Debbie. It's good to be here tonight. And wasn't that just blessed, singing a blessed time of worship and praise? And I trust that your heart knows that it's been before the throne and that you can sense the presence of God with us. Thank God for that. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I'm Esther Gillanders. I'm from America. Sometimes I think I am. I'm from the south of Ireland and living in the north of Ireland with my husband, who is a pastor to a church there just outside Belfast. I have three boys. My oldest boy is married and I have three grandchildren to that marriage. My middle boy lives with his father, which is in heaven. He died at the age of 17 months. And that was the means of bringing myself and my husband into a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. So we thank God for that experience. We thank God for what he taught us and what he showed us and what we learned. And now he has placed us in a position where we can be of help and benefit to others who find themselves also going through the same troubles and trials. My youngest son, he is also married, but hasn't blessed us with a family yet. But we wait in great expectation for that great day. So it's a pleasure to be here. My husband has took a sabbatical. He's sitting down there at the back. So we are actually touring America for 7.5 weeks. We've been over here since the 27th of March, and we're not going home until the 17th of May. And we are driving up to Chicago after the prayer advance, and then we're going to start, we call it route, you call it route. So we are going to travel Route 66. Harold thinks we are mad. But it was on our dream wall. And when something's on your dream wall, you have to fulfill it, don't you? That's what we were encouraged to do this morning anyway. So Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just going to read a couple of verses there from verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And we end our reading there, and isn't it wonderful to know that God always adds his blessing to the public reading of his own precious word. Don't you just love the word of God? Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, our hearts have been warmed as we have listened and sung those glorious songs of Zion. And Father, we thank you for that great reminder that up from the grave you arose, and that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession on our behalf. And Father, we sense the Spirit of God amongst us tonight. And Lord, we ask that you will draw graciously near. We pray that each lady would give you permission to speak into their heart. And Father, may we receive your word with gladness and with joy. And may it create a hunger and a thirst within us to be more effective for God in these days. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, ladies, we have to be honest here tonight. And we have to say that life doesn't always work out the way we planned. Isn't that right? Sometimes whenever we are in school, we have wonderful plans in our mind. And wonderful things that we are going to achieve. And we have desired goals. And sometimes our plans don't always go according to our plan. There's times that some folk who are on the wealthier side of things might employ what we call a life coach. Have you got life coaches here in America? A life coach, yes? You know what they do? Well, they help you make your plan. While the whole time they're planning how they're going to spend the money that you're going to give them while they're helping you make your plan. And they'll make you out a plan that would go something like this. You can pay me later. Consider what you want to achieve. And then you commit to achieving it. Write your goals down and make them more tangible. Plan the steps that you must take in order to realize your goals. And then cross off each goal as you achieve it. And on the list will go that this life coach who has took your money will give to you. And you know, there's a well-known statement, and this is what it says, that setting goals or planning goals will lead to success. And of course, we all know that in many areas of life, this is true. Well, without plans, wouldn't life be a mess? Can you imagine getting up one morning and saying, I'm getting married, and then sit back on your knees in the hopes that it's just going to all magically come together? No, you would make plans. And you make plans for your holidays, just like what we have been this past year for this road trip that we are going to embark on. You make plans for your children. And you make plans for your retirement. My friends, as we in this world make plans, well, why would we think that God would be any different? God always works according to a plan. He had a purpose in creation. He designed this whole universe, the world and man. And he has a plan in place for everything. And amazingly, God has a plan for you. You know, there's many and they're drifting through life. And they never ever fully realize what God's plan was for them. Ladies, I believe it is time that we got serious about God's plan. And may I assure each one of you tonight that each one of us in this room, we make up a part of God's plan. Now, have you all received a piece of a jigsaw? Yes? Now, what you have to do, if you haven't received a piece, they'll be at the front here afterwards, and you can come and pick one up at any time. You have to find your matching piece. Right, go. No, I'm only joking. That's not what you're to do. I want you to take your piece of the jigsaw, and I want you to write on it, I am a part of God's plan. I am a part of God's plan. You are a piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And God wants to use you. You know, it's a significant and a special and even a surprising plan that God would take you or even me. And that he would use us. God's plan is individual and God's plan is unique. And it can only be fulfilled in you. Not in your husband. Not in your pastor. Not in the evangelist. Not in your friends, but in you. You as a unique individual. God in his infinite wisdom, he has our lives all worked out. And do you realize, the sad thing is, there's many and they don't realize this, that 98% of God's will and plan for us is already revealed and set out for us in Scripture. And the more we submit to God as revealed in Scripture, the more perfectly you will fit into His plan for your life. But in order for God's plan to be fulfilled and effective in our lives, we must start at the beginning. And it's here that we see that God's plan for us is distinctive. It's decisive, sorry. Now you might well ask at this point, what is the beginning? Well, friends, the beginning of this great plan is in Christ. Whenever you and I were born, we were born not in Christ, but we were born in sin. I was born in the south of Ireland to the parents of Ernest and Esther Cherry. I was born beautiful, but nonetheless, friends, I was born in sin. I was born with a fallen nature, fallen traits and characters. But God. Ah, don't you just love those two little words? But God had a plan. He longed for me to become His child. He longed for me to become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, God's word clearly tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ah, yes, friends, this is indeed the first step that we all need to take to enter into God's plan. And just as God's plan is decisive, so too will this be a decisive step that you take. Stepping into God's plan. Stepping into salvation. You know, without salvation, we are weak. We are ineffective. We are lost, undone sinners. And we are bound for misery and bound for heartache. But God's plan always starts with salvation. And ladies, make no mistake in this place tonight. We need to get the foundations right in order for the building to be erected fit for purpose. Jesus said, I am the door. He did not say, I am a door. He did not say, I am one of the doors. No, my friend. He clearly says, I am the door. I am the only door. And by me, that is by Jesus, ye shall be saved. And that's the only way to enter in through the door. It's imperative, friends, that we are all going or we have gone through the right door. You know, Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. He's the only one who can take away the sins of the world. Not Islam. Not Buddha. Not Allah. Not Protestant. Not Catholic. And surprise, surprise, not even Donald Trump. But friends, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. And it doesn't matter how good you might be. Doesn't matter what good works you might have done. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot enter into heaven unless you have entered into God's plan of salvation, which is found only in Christ. This is God's definite plan. Oh yes, we acknowledge that there's many and perhaps even some here today. And you've had a religious experience. Your heart was stirred. You know, when I was preparing this message, I kept saying to God, God, this is a lady's prayer advance. It's not a gospel campaign. And I argued with God for months over this area of the message. So I believe it's for somebody here tonight. And I trust that your ear is open and that your heart is tuned to listen and to obey what God is saying to you. You might have had a religious experience, heart stirred, walked the aisle to the altar, prayed a prayer, mixed and mingled with true born again Christians. But the reality is this: you have never fully trusted Christ for true salvation. You never fully submitted your mind and your will and your emotions over to Him. And therefore, that is why this walk is such a struggle for you. God's desire and God's plan is that we share His life, that we share His love and His goodness. His plan is that the world would possess His image and that our identity and our life would be wrapped up in His. And once we accept this position in Christ, we now become joint heirs with His Son. Oh, friends, this is God's definite plan. It's a plan of grace. Imagine someone so holy, someone so unique, would have a wonderful plan of freedom for His enemies. Ah, this is our God. And the moment the work of Calvary becomes a reality in your life, the moment that we put our faith and our trust in Him, that's the moment that we become spiritually alive and we are no longer blinded to spiritual things. And when you sit in the prayer advance, you'll understand what's being conveyed to you, because the Spirit of God is revealing it to your heart. And once you are truly born again, now you can choose to make positive decisions as you seek His plan for the remainder of your life. Or, my friend, you can choose just to remain an ineffective believer, making little progress and making no difference to the world and the people around you. It's your choice. But you would do well to remember that once you become a Christian, you have entered into a relationship, not a religion. And you must desire to seek to know Him, not just about Him, but a personal, deep, intimate relationship with the lover of your soul. You know, God does not only save you and then this is the end. You know, it's just the beginning. And from the moment that God saves you, He begins to open up His plan before you. He seeks to lead you in His God-ordained pathway, a pathway which will not only open up to you fully, all at once, it's going to be a process. As you walk in the light and as you obey His word and seek His will. You know, whenever you went to school, do you remember the first day you went to school? And you come home and you thought you knew everything. Isn't that right? Probably told your mother you had no need to go back. Mommy, I've learned everything that there is to know, because when my grandchildren come home from school, I say, what did you learn today? Nothing. So they must have learned it all on the first day. No, my friends. On that first day, you just enrolled for a learning process. And the moment you accept Christ, you enroll into a plan that was and is God-given. But sadly, many have failed to see how important this decision or this decisive step is. And they've wasted their lives on meaningless things. Or they have wandered through life just chasing hopeless dreams. I wonder, would there be any here like that? You're trying to serve God in the flesh. Trying to serve God in your own strength and your own capabilities. Thinking that good works and pleasant platitudes are all that you need. Make no mistakes. We will only truly enter into his perfect plan through redeemed lives. We sing that glorious song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God's plan for us is decisive. God's plan for us is distinctive. You know, entering into God's plan is not you adding something to the already existing habits of your old life, but rather it's a whole new pattern of life. Because God's word says old things pass away and all things become new. We are created unto good works. So this plan brings with it a whole new structure of life, a whole new strategy for life. This is not a life where I set the rules. No, rather, it's a life where God sets the priorities. God sets the standards. And God sets the boundaries. This is God's plan. But unfortunately, many are living according to their own plan. And let me assure you that the enemy, the devil, is happy if this is your lifestyle. Living for me. Living for my job. Living for my marriage. Living for my children. Living for my house. Living for my car. And the list goes on and on. Whilst all of these things are good, if it's not God's plan for your life, well, then it's going to be a life that is ordinary, a life that is dull, a life that is plain, and dare I say it, a life that is unholy. God longs to lift us out of this state. His plan for you and for me is distinctive. To be separate, to be apart, to be living a much more glorious life. You know, way back in eternity, before I was ever born, God had me on his mind. He had a role for me to play. And this role or plan wasn't and isn't just some haphazard take it or leave it kind of style. No, God has a blueprint for each one of us. Yet there's many, and they're still living for self. Oh, they're doing useful things, but not eternal. They're doing good things, but not godly. They're doing generous things, but not glorious. You know, just like David out on the hills, there he was doing the job of a shepherd. And even his father believed that he couldn't achieve or do anything else but God. Ah, friends, there's those two little words again. But God, in his infinite power and wisdom, had a plan. And be assured that it wasn't something that David had imagined or dreamed up in his own mind. God's plan for David was a greater one than attending the sheep. Because God was going to use David as an instrument in his hand towards the people of Israel. Over the course of my life, I have come across many who have listened to the deception of the enemy, and they have settled for less than what God has for them, believing it is enough just to have a good testimony, to be a churchgoer, a church member, even singing in the choir. And all the time they're missing God's plan for their life. He is oh so much more in line for you and me. Whilst church membership and choir singing and all that might be what God has planned for some, I believe that when we see God's plan being fulfilled in my life and your life, well then it'll make a difference to lives and to the people around about us. Now, when I talk about God's plan, I'm not talking about preaching and teaching. I'm not talking even about coming and speaking at ladies' conferences or any other great events such as that. God might call you to do that. But in most cases, it'll simply be a drawn alongside. It'll be an encouraging, an inspiring, a supporting, a mentoring others in their walk with God. This might be your husband that you need to encourage. It might be your mother, your pastor's wife, new believers, maybe even a stranger. It may even very well be the children in your own home. But strive, my friends, strive to be a vessel in an ungodly world, making a difference to some life or lives. This distinctive plan may bring sorrow. It may bring pain. It may bring heartache and suffering. Just like our sister here when she had her stroke. But remember, friends, God is in control. God is in control. And he's working out a plan to bring me to the place where he wants me to be. Oh, ladies, don't stoop to be anything other than a piece of the puzzle in God's hand. Don't stoop to be anything less than a daughter of the King, serving him with a whole heart, filling the empty, glaring space in ministry and in God's work today. Oh, friends, be that person who will reach out when someone needs you. Listening as some dear soul pours out their heart to you. Praying with the sorrowful, the needy, and the hurting in our land. Yes, friends, it is a distinctive plan. And it's for everyday living. Not just for the days you're at a prayer advance. I want you to remember that. You come here to recharge your batteries. But then you don't go home and lie on your laurels. Do you use that expression here? You don't go home to lie on your laurels for the rest of the year until you come and recharge your batteries again next year. God has a distinctive plan for everyday living. So you make sure that you are the kind of person who God can trust. Be the right person in the right place at the right time. Just like Queen Esther, the one who came into the kingdom for such a time as this. And look how God saved a whole nation using her influence over a king. This distinctive plan is not a one-off event, but it's being a vessel. It's being a messenger in difficult and trying occasions. It's being available to serve him and to bring glory to his name by bringing joy out of sorrow, inspiring peace where there is disturbance, showing love where there is hate, shedding light where there is darkness. If you allow him, he will use you as an instrument of blessing. Just as that little song says, Lord, make me an instrument of peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. So friends, how can we be this kind of person? How can we be a piece in the puzzle? How can we be a part of the answer, not part of the problem, as so many are today? Friends, we can only do this with his power working through us. Only with his help can we live distinctive lives set apart for him. But friends, God's plan is also a dynamic plan. Yes, it's decisive. Yes, it's distinctive. But oh, ladies, do you long to be a part of this dynamic plan of God? The plan that he has for us is a plan that is empowered by his Holy Spirit. The very nature of his plan demands this. He will never take us where he cannot keep us. He will never lead us to do anything that he has not equipped us for. You know, God does not expect us to function, act, or work for him unless we have sought him to empower us. To empower us for the task that lies before us. We read in God's word where the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And we're told that after this they were filled with boldness and they did mighty things. Not because of self, but because of him. Ladies, I never, ever, ever, ever wanted to be a pastor's wife. And God knew this. When I married my husband, I married a baker. And then God called us into a mission where we worked for 14 years. And many times during our time in the mission, I said, Lord, I will never be a pastor's wife. But here I am, a pastor's wife. And I discovered that God's plan can be and is often painful, costly, and even mundane, and often challenging, taking us out of our comfort zone, just like what he did when he called my husband into ministry. But I've discovered that God will fill and enable us to be a part of his plan no matter what. The most important place for you, my dear friend, is to be sure that our plans are in line with his. Don't run and don't hide from it. But grasp and embrace the plan that God has set out for you. He expects you to use your spiritual gifts and talents. He doesn't expect you to be a square peg in a round hole any more than he expects eagles to swim and fish to fly. But in his plan, he endues you with power. He will give you the ability to fulfill the task that he has set before you, the task that he has called you to do. And he will fill you with confidence that no matter what you face, that he is the problem solver. Don't for one moment ever think that David accomplished what he did on his own and in his own strength, or that Esther accomplished what she saw achieved without God's empowerment. I'm sure that great missionary, Catherine Booth, had many battles to win and overcome before she fitted into God's piece of the puzzle. We were staying in Floyd. Who's ever been to Floyd? We took a little cabin up Buffalo Mountain. We had no television. We had no radio. We had no phones. We were there for 4 days and it was glorious. And one night we decided that we would take these jigsaws, there must be about 5 of them, and try to put them together. I think we managed to get 3 of them together. And boy, the competition got hot. And we were all looking for pieces, and when we'd get one, we'd be trying to squeeze it in, and sometimes the piece didn't fit. And we'd have to say, no, that's not the right piece. But you know, God will work in us and through us. And we will fit into God's piece of the puzzle if we are walking in his steps. This is God's plan. And it's going to require the dynamic empowering of God's Spirit in your life to embrace it and to live it out. Whenever we submit to the plan, to the will of God, he will empower, because he never asks us to accept anything without first giving us the grace and the spirit to receive it. Don't live in fear. Don't fret. And don't fight. And don't flee the plan of God. Tell him your struggles and your shortcomings. I can remember telling God, sure, I hardly went to school. I can hardly pronounce my words right. There's some words I can't get my tongue around. But oh, did God not work it all out? You need to accept his word. You need to trust him to empower you. And it won't matter, friends, if your routine is disrupted. It won't matter if all around you is living in negative row. There's far too much negativity in our land today. And when you sit down in negative row, friends, you become just like them. But you won't have time, friends, to live in negative row when you're living for God. When you're living in his plan, when you're receiving his empowerment, that's going to enable you to be different. It'll enable you to be positive. It'll enable you to be a bright, shining and burning light for God in oh so needy a world. You'll become one who will forge your way into devil-held territory in order to see his plan fulfilled. And through all of this, ladies, you'll have the confidence that his great, majestic hand is leading and guiding you and holding you fast as you journey through life. What a wonderful plan. What a wonderful God. And even though God has the whole universe to steer and to rule, We would do well to remind ourselves that he will never forget you and he will never forget me. We are a work in progress. The plan that he has for us is being revealed little by little as we step out and obey his will. But whatever you do tonight, ladies, do not overlook the reality that God has a plan for you. And as you wrote on your jigsaw, I make up a part of God's plan. And as you determine in your heart that you're going to be a piece, that piece of the puzzle that's going to fit perfectly into the plan that God has ordained for you, will you remember, friends, that each step you take, that the Savior will go before you. And remember that he will never leave you nor forsake you. We're going to bow for a word of prayer. And friends, as we have looked at the plan that God has for our lives, I trust that you have a desire to be a part of that plan. As you look at your little jigsaw, remind yourself that you're part of that plan. Isn't it an awful thing? I remember my sister building a jigsaw. I think it was something like 10,000 pieces. It took her 3 months. And at the very end of that jigsaw, there was one piece missing. One piece missing. Ladies, is that piece going to be you? Would it be you? I am a part of God's plan. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Remember, we're coming into the presence of the King. When you come into the presence of the King, you can't afford to be fistling with your books and clicking at your handbag and drinking out of your water bottle. When you're coming into the presence of the King, you need to still your heart. You need to sense his presence. You need to know that God is here. And God is here for one purpose, and that purpose is to bless you and to bless me. And if there's any ladies here tonight and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, well, friends, this is the night when you need to come and put your faith and trust in him. Because if you don't, you're going to go through the remainder of this prayer advance and you're going to get absolutely nothing out of it. Oh yes, you might have a good time, but you're not here for a good time. I trust you're not here for a good time. I trust you're here to do dealings with God. So if you're not saved, tonight's the night to get saved. Seek us out afterwards. I will be around. Oh, I would love to point you to the Master. And friends, if you are saved and your walk has grown maybe a little bit cold and shallow, come afresh to him tonight. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Is there anyone on the need to reach out and touch the Lord? As a Christian, can I exhort you to seek the will of the Father for your life? Seek his plan. And determine in your heart that you're going to go through with God, no matter what the cost might be. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your presence and we thank you that you're a God who not only hears, but you answer our prayers. And Father, you have promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that there you are in the midst of them. And we believe you're here tonight, Lord. And Father, we believe that the decisive plan that is laid out before us, that plan of salvation, that there's souls here that you long to save, that you long to restore. Maybe you long to just bring them back into a deeper walk with yourself. And then, Father, there's the distinctive plan. We just pray, O God, that you will help each one of us to come to that place where we know that God has something more for us than just an ordinary mundane life. And Father, we pray that each one of us will know the dynamic power of the Spirit of God coming and charging us with Holy Ghost fire. And that, Lord, you will do something new in our hearts. There'll be a new zeal and a new desire to go through it, God, no matter what the cost might be. And Father, we pray for the remainder of this prayer advance that we will set about seeking God and knowing his plan. So, Lord, just as we are settled down in your presence, just we give you permission to search our hearts. Try us and know our ways, O God. And Father, whatever you might reveal to us at this point of this gathering, we pray, O God, that you'll help us to go through it, God. No matter what the cost might be, no matter what our friends or family might say, but that you'll help us to enter into God's plan. For we ask it in and through Jesus' name. Amen.